All right, hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Good morning. June 3rd, 2025. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you were at. Absolutely gorgeous this morning. Just got in from my exercise adventure. Feel good. Beautiful. A little cool this morning. Feels great, though. I don't know if I weighed. I don't know. I can't remember what I've talked about. But yesterday, I weighed myself, and I was down 199.5, under 200 for the first time in I don't know how long. Whew. And got up this morning and went for another exercise adventure. I was expecting to be back over 200 pounds because that seems to be the way that it rolls, and weighed myself, and I was still 199.5. So, hey, you know, I've always said if I can just lose a pound a week, 1 pound a week, I could lose 52 pounds in a year. I'm about, I mean, if I'm figuring out an average, I'm about 1.25 pounds per week at this rate, but, you know, come on. I'll be if after it's all said and done, if I can keep 20 pounds off for a year, I'd be happy. So, but that's what's going on this morning. I thought I would come up here and do a podcast. I tried to do a podcast yesterday, got sort of through it, and then got a phone call and threw me off my pattern of thinking or whatever I was talking about and just gave it up. So, but I do want to try to come up and do one today. It is Tuesday. I was off yesterday. Just, you know, if you're thinking about getting sober, let me be the one to tell you, man, it is awesome. And the gifts just keep on giving. It doesn't mean it isn't hard. It doesn't mean that there aren't struggles. But I tell you, you know, yesterday was one of those days. I got up and went to do some projects with my son. You know, we're working on my dad's house. I had some other things in mind, but basically I wanted to get our snowblower and our generator fixed. My dad had a generator. And I have a snowblower. I wanted to take him over to my buddy Art and have him, you know, just refresh him, get the oil changed, get the carburetors clean, put some of that can gas in them instead of that ethanol gas, and, you know, just sort of store them away for the summer so they're ready for the winter. But we didn't, Art was busy and couldn't take him, and so we ended up doing some other stuff. He's doing some work over at my dad's house, but, you know, it's just really cool to hang out with your 19-year-old son, right? I mean, I think it's cool. I have, he's just a really good boy, and, you know, we have a good time, and so getting some stuff done. But, you know, it's all because of sobriety. You know, this is all because of recovery. I think I shared, I don't know if I shared in the podcast the other day. This is the hard part, remembering what I talk about, but, you know, my son's gone to Pottstown, Pennsylvania to try, he went to a paddle course with me. And he paddled with me last week and in a nor'easter. We had this bad storm, and we had to go paddle anyway. And he loved it, and so now he's into it. So he signed up into Team Snap, and, you know, we're just trying to figure out. He's going to paddle on Thursday. I'm paddling tomorrow, and he's going to paddle with another group on Thursday. Coach wants to, you know, just get him in the boat and let him, you know, learn to paddle, right? The paddling that they do on Thursday is a shorter, more for, you know, I won't say amateur because I'm definitely an amateur, but maybe people that are 4 or 5 miles as opposed to 10. And so my coach is like, let's bring him into that group for a little bit, get him settled in, and then we'll try to get him into the Wednesday group. So it's just really cool, man. You know, I was telling my son, I go, you know, some people vicariously live through their children, and some people vicariously live with their children.
Don't you feel it growing, day by day? People getting ready for the move. Some are happy, some are sad.
listen to the music, Doobie Brothers. Great song. But yeah, you know, I'm not saying you have to be sober and into recovery and going to meetings and doing all the shit to have a wonderful relationship with your children. But for me, I don't think I was headed in that direction prior, right? Actually, you know, I've always said if I hadn't gotten sober, I probably would not have any kids anyway. I was pretty content. And, you know, for a self-centered person like I was, all I cared about was that I was happy. And that even sounds weird because, honestly, now that I think about it, I think it was just maintaining misery is really what my life was. There was no happiness. It was just maintaining the level of misery that I had to go through on a daily basis. And, you know, God definitely had a different plan for me. And so I'll go with it. And, man, what a freaking pleasure. You know, my other son, Sam, is back with us this week. And I was like, yeah, David went in the boat. He's like, I'd love you to get in the boat. He's like, I'm into trying out, you know, because we had a family day a couple years ago that they got in the boat and thought it was cool. But he's like, it looks fun. I'd do it. I was like, really? And so if I can try to get both these guys, you know, as a father, I just think it's wonderful. You know, I think, I know as a guy that's 56, you know, exercise and taking care of myself has, you know, come and gone through the years. But I would love to find something that maybe these guys can do that they enjoy and at the same time have exercise. So, and, you know, to be honest, they're both freaking big kids. You know, David's 6 foot, Sam's 5'11". You know, we need, you know, and they're the part of me, the club part of me is like, we need that freaking young power. And these kids got it. And so it's one of the things our club struggles with is that most of the people in the club are pretty much retired. Right. So, you know, we're not tapping the youth and, you know, of this club. And so I've always told my coach, we've got to figure out ways to get young people. And we are this year. In fact, we're doing some outreach programs with the Children's Beach Club. And, you know, we've got some cool stuff. And I told my son, David, I said, you know, I think coach is going to want you to maybe do some stuff because we want to start more of a youth program that reaches out to younger kids to come out and try paddling. And what better person to have there than a young person? So, you know, we'll see how the summer goes, but I would love it if both these guys got involved. You know, one of the things as a dad, as a guy that paddles, you know, I part of me feels like I do know what I'm doing, but part of me also knows, listen, you don't. And so when my son wanted to come paddle, I was like telling my coach, I'm like, you know, I want to get him in on Wednesday, you know, and my coach is like, listen, you stay on Wednesday. Let's put him on Thursday. It's a shorter route. And I said, you know what? That's better because that way I'm not up his ass, right? I'm not sitting here trying to tell him how to do everything, which I wouldn't really, but I'm sure I would say something, right? I do, you know, it is pretty awesome to have him in the boat. So, but my coach is like, why don't we have him on Thursday? You stay on Wednesday and I'll sort of, you know, teach him, you know, the ins and outs. And I go, you know what? That's a better idea. Cause that way I won't upset him and I won't have expectations. Right. Even though I don't really, I'm just grateful he's in the boat. So anyway, that's what we're doing as far as that goes. you know, really excited. It is Tuesday, meaning I did go to a meeting last night. I did have the guys over on Sunday. We're sort of in a funny place because we're not really pushing past the third step. I don't really want to get into the fourth step. So we just kind of get together and sort of chat about what's been going on. And, you know, I feel like I'm the one that's had all the freaking problems in the last month. I'm going to call May the month of arrogance because that seems to be, for me at least, the topic all month. And, you know, like I told those guys, you know, I got a decent amount of time, but man, I can still have, I struggle in certain areas. And, you know, that's been one of them. And I don't want to struggle like that. So I've tried to do some work. I've been trying to think, you know, I've had to make some amends, had to look deep, had to say some prayers, ask for forgiveness. And, you know, here I am. And I feel like I've had a pretty good month, a good learning month of some of the things. you know, first of all, that I've been acting arrogant, right? You know, I've shared, man. You know, Matt used to say we were arrogant, and I would laugh. But he's right, you know, and the problem for me is that it doesn't go this slow graduation from, you know, a normal person through inconvenience to arrogance. It goes from that, from this to that, like real fast. And I don't even know. I mean, I know about it, right? I'm talking about it. But, you know, and I try to do things in my life that prevent inconvenience, right? Leaving early, you know, preparing, getting ready, doing whatever it is I need to do, taking a few minutes early so that I can, you know, not get behind, or, you know, thinking about the situations that I am going to go into. You know, I think about the past and some of the stuff I've talked about, you know, not holding the hand of God, closing down the salon, being inconvenient. I knew, you know, I knew that was coming up. You know, so I do think that, you know, I've become better aware of potential situations that may create arrogance. But sometimes they just, you know, they're, I don't know. I think, you know, part of it is I just got to cut myself a little slack, lighten up a bit, right? Regardless of what people say or do, does it really need to be that big of a deal? Not really. You know, there's a guy that lives down the street from us, and we live on a street with a cul-de-sac, right? And, you know, he lives on the cul-de-sac sort of down there by himself, and he sort of treats the cul-de-sac a little bit like his own parking lot. And we have an HOA, and, you know, part of the rules are, you know, I don't know what the actual rule is for parking cars on the street. We have an overflow lot. We only have 24 houses in our neighborhood. It's just this little small thing. But at the other end, we have an overflow lot where we, if you have a car, you know, that you can't fit in your driveway all the time, but you can park it down there. I think the rule is it has to be registered, right? And it has to be an active registration. And it has to be a usable car, right? We don't want broken down cars and shit down there. So, but you know, the neighbor down there, he's got his boat and his truck parked in the cul-de-sac. And, you know, yesterday, here comes fucking, you know, Mr. HOA. And I'm not. I don't really give a shit. I appreciate the HOA. I'm grateful. But man, you know, I'm just like, why is this guy parking his freaking boat down here? This is not what we're supposed to do, right? And so now here comes, you know, but see, now I'm hyper aware of all this stuff. And I'm like, does it matter? Does it? Is it that big of a deal? Honestly, if it became that big of a deal, I probably wouldn't be the only one that noticed. Right. It would probably be, the situation would become aware, more people would be aware of it. And I wouldn't have to be, you know, the hero. And, but at the same time, you know, my son's parked his car on the street, and his car is sort of, you know, impeding the exit of the lady that lives across from us's driveway. So, you know, if someone parks directly behind your driveway and you don't notice, you could hit their car. I think we all pay attention and everything's been fine. But I told him, I said, listen, why don't you park your car down at the overflow lot? That way you're not on the street. And he was like, yeah, no problem. So he's got his car and the truck down there in the overflow lot. But he had his car on the road for probably a week and nobody said anything. And I had to finally be like, you know, I think we should probably, move it. And so, but I talked to my neighbor yesterday and I'm like, what's the deal with the cul-de-sac, right? Like I'm trying to get into it. I'm trying to fucking, you know, become inconvenienced. I'm trying to become arrogant. I'm trying to make trouble. But at the same time, I don't want to, right? And so I was asking her, I go, what is the deal? And she goes, I don't know about what the, you know, the time limit is and stuff. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. He'll take care of it. And then I saw her, I guess this was 2 days ago. I saw her yesterday and she's like, you know, you can call the HOA. And I go, I am not calling the HOA. I go, you know what the problem is? Is some days I wake up in a good mood and do my run walk. And some days I wake up in an aggravated mood and do my run walk. And, you know, Some days I feel like, you know, complaining about cars, and some days I don't give a shit. So I just, you know, so maybe that's another thing. Maybe no big decisions within the first few hours of my, of me being awake, right? Can we have, can I have rules that I put in place to prevent problems? Absolutely, right? We make other rules. You know, we don't hang out in bars, right? That's a rule of mine. Don't hang out in bars. And, but that rule helps me, and I don't end up in bars. So I can make rules. So maybe that's one of them I need to make. Maybe no big decisions within the first few hours of me being awake. And, but the, I guess the, you know, the whole point of all this is that if I'm just, aware of it and try to chill out and try not to worry about stuff and just tell myself, dude, stay out of it. It ain't that big of a deal. Because I can tell you, a couple incidents that I've had in the last month or so, you know, everything that I've gone through, all of the ups and downs and the amends and conversations and whatever it is that, you know, I had to do to get out of it and get through it, here I am. Phone call from my buddy. Got to call him back. Another amazing gift of recovery. Friends. But yeah, so after it all said and done, here we are, and I'm in the same place that I was before, and I can look back and say, listen, you could have been a little nicer, or maybe not opened your mouth, or, you know, and something I've been talking about this for a few weeks now, going to meetings, and went to a meeting last night, and someone reminded me, we do have the ability to pause, right, pause, and, yeah, I thought that was a great message. So, you know, I'm going to let May go. We'll see you next year, May. We're going to try to be better in June. I already feel better. It's But anyway, yeah, so I went to the meeting last night. Let me chat a little bit about the meeting. I have, you know, I kind of switch between what meetings I go to. The Monday meeting over at Dry Dock is good, but I just didn't feel like, I think we're on the 12th step over there, and I was like, yeah. So I went to another meeting at 6:30, and it's up in Long Neck, and went up there, and it was a step meeting. Interesting, you know, format. Three meetings out of the month are big book literature, and the first Monday of the month is a step meeting. And so it was great because it was on the sixth step, and I absolutely love the sixth step. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. You know, on the surface, it says, you know, we got to get rid of our defects of character. But, you know, and I was reading it last night and looking at the title of the of this step, you know, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And, you know, this is what I've been enjoying right now, is this real, this relationship, good and bad, with God and the devil. And, you know, it's one thing to, you know the obvious things, right? The lying, the stealing, the cheating, you know, the using, the drugging, the drinking, whatever it is. You know, when I came into the program, I do believe, this is for me, I do believe drinking is a character defect. I think it falls under gluttony. It's a deadly sin. You know, when I drink, I can't stop. There is a fucking something that takes place. It's gluttony. And I just, it's like, you know, I'm seeing all these people on my Instagram and my reels, these fat people eating all this food. And it's like a, it's like, and they put the microphones on. It's like this weird kind of, it's like drinking, but it's for eating. And they get into this spell, and it's the same thing that happens to me when I drink, and it, I think it's gluttony. But, you know, when you come in, when I came into this program, there was a few things that were obvious. One, right, I have to stop drinking. First and foremost. And I did, you know, but I did that because I was told to. I didn't do that because I felt like I needed to, right? And I'm glad I did. I'm not sure that you can feel like you need to quit and quit. I think it's one of those, an act of providence, right? It's a real disaster. But there was other things that I obviously, you know, you can't, you don't want to be stealing from people. And I was never a real thief. I mean, I stole things, you know, but thieving wasn't my gig. But, you know, lying, cheating, stealing, all of these things are really obvious. But when it gets to the small things, like, you know, being arrogant, you know, my behavior of late has been a character defect of mine. And could I get through the world and life and keep my job and, you know, keep my family and still continue to have these behaviors? Probably. Could I keep my job, keep my family, continue this life if I was drinking? I don't think so. So there are some character defects in my life, and it talks about it in the book. You know, some were just not really ready to let go. And I guess I'm not haven't been ready to let go. I didn't realize I was so arrogant, to be honest. But as these situations come up, you know, I feel it in my heart, the intuition, you know, I talked about, you know, the arrogance of me not shaking my friend's hand and telling him I ain't shaking that motherfucker's hand, the arrogance in those words and the idea that I am some person that is capable of saying that to another human being without being held with some accountability is just arrogant. And, you know, and I shared in the meeting last night, you know, and I went to the meeting on Friday as well, and I spoke, you know, but my buddy Jim asked me to speak. And I talked about it. I talked about the situation that I'd been in with Jim, in front of Jim at the meeting. You know, these have been arrogant moments. And this is for a person that I really didn't think I was arrogant. And it's turning out that I might be more than I realized. But what is it? You know, is it Jim being mad at me? Nah, I mean, that's unfortunate. But other people have been mad at me. But what it is this intense feeling, this intuition in my heart that you can't live your life like this. We don't tolerate this kind of anxiety and pain like we used to. I'm just not cut out for it. You know, in the past, back in the day, I would do something and be like, fuck that dude, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, I said he was an asshole. I was probably wrong, but fuck it, I don't care. Right? Today, I just can't live like that. And it's because I have a relationship with the higher power, God. The devil gets me into it, and then God fucking beats me up for doing it. And, you know, I can't live like that today. And, you know, I shared the other day, man, I couldn't get my ear to that phone and those numbers dialed fast enough for me to call him up and say, I apologize. I'm sorry. The first day, I was like, he's an asshole. I don't need to even care. Fuck him. The second day, I was like, well, he's an asshole. I don't care, but I may have used different words. Third day, I may have used this. If I had it to do over, I'd use different words. And by the way, I really do like you. And honestly, I was just kidding. And on the fourth day, I'm like, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I am a jerk. And I've been arrogant. And you're right. Because he called me an arrogant asshole. And you're right. I've been an arrogant asshole. And, but that's to me what the step means. Like, you know, there's obvious, you know, there's things that I do and my kids or my wife or my people around me will say, you can't do that, you dummy. I say, all right, well, I guess I won't because you said I shouldn't, but I don't particularly feel too bad. But today, you know, I feel bad and I don't like that. And so, you know, I have to pay attention to that because I am entirely ready to have God. Really, I'm entirely ready to listen and correct situations when I fuck up and be accountable. Right? Because in that 4-day period that I was talking about, Jim, the first 2 days was his fault. The last 2 days I thought about it was all my fault. You know, there's this real battle. And it's just old behavior. This is how I used to be. You know, there was no consideration of anybody else. You know, I just lived my life one day at a time, one disaster at a time. And if people got hurt, I just said I didn't care. Today I care. I'm back. I care again. And, you know, that's what the sixth step is. You know, and I love the sixth step, right? Because it is, it's some real cleaning up of my life. But, you know, it's after the fifth step, right? And we learn a lot about ourselves in the fifth step. And it's before the seventh step, which I really love. But I do say, and I've said this before, you know, the sixth step is a lot of the stuff that I do publicly. You know, the private stuff is the tougher stuff. I believe that's more of the seventh step. I had a guy share last night that he had a different philosophy about the seventh step, and I thought it sounded pretty good. So I don't know. But to have God be entirely ready, that means that I'm willing and ready to listen to when God talks to me through intuition and feelings. And when it happens, I'm willing, entirely ready to do something about it. You know, and it's not just, I'm sorry, Jim, but I really, 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 really don't want to have this happen again with Jim or anybody else. And so, you know, that's the goal. All right, let me read the daily reflections, and then I'm going to go. Let's see. Daily reflections. Then I got to go to work today. Not very busy. Dealing with, you know, it's been a slow couple weeks. Today ain't any better. And seems like a lot of money's going out and not a lot of money's coming in. So I've been, you know, dancing with the money fears again a little bit. But it'll all work out, right? I know. Don't smoke crack. Don't pay for hookers. It should all work out. All right. On a wing and a prayer. When we look at step six, interesting. Here we go. When we look at step six, we have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 76. Step four and five were difficult, but worthwhile. Now I was stuck on step six and in despair. I picked up the big book and read this passage. I was outside praying for willingness when I raised my eyes and saw a huge bird rising in the sky. I watched it suddenly give itself up to the powerful air currents of the mountains, swept along, swooping and soaring. The bird did things seemingly impossible for mortal birds to do. I was an inspiring example of a fellow creature letting go to a power greater than itself. I realized that if the bird took back his will and tried to fly with the less trust on its power alone, it would spoil its apparent free flight. That insight granted me the willingness to pray the seventh step prayer. It's not easy to know God's will in each circumstance. I must search out and be ready for the currents, and that's where prayer and meditation help, because I am of myself nothing. I ask God to grant me the knowledge of his will and the power and courage to carry it out. That's right. Whew. Yeah. Well, I think that's sort of what I'm going through, right? I think, you know, like I said, it's obvious. There were some things that I obviously had to change. It wasn't hard to figure it out. And the reason I changed them was because I was told to. As life goes on, I start to realize in listening to, you know, and they talk about prayer and meditation. I believe that when a situation like that comes up, it's pretty obvious to me. I feel it pretty clearly, pretty quickly in my heart. And then it's up to me to make the decision to fix it. You know, at this point in my recovery, it's, you know, it's always about wanting to fix things. But, you know, I need to stop doing them again. And I've, you know, that's what I'm working on today. Stop doing them again, right? All right, well, listen, hey, thanks for letting me share. I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.